it's difficult to like watch a flower bloom if you're not going to water it. Like if you don't believe in that growth and you don't believe in your dream and that vision and you don't see the path for that thing to expand and touch the world and the beauty in that, then maybe you like take a break from gardening until you can find that.
Welcome to the Expanded Podcast with your host, Lacey Phillips. As a leading manifestation advisor with a process that's, well, radically different from the old New Age model, mine is rooted in psychology, neuroscience, and my energetic gifts. I created this podcast to help you expand your subconscious limiting beliefs about the potential of deserving the manifestations you're calling in. Therefore, you're tuning into this podcast series to show your subconscious that anything you desire is possible. And by pressing play, you've already started the process of manifesting it. If you enjoy this episode, please leave us our review, comment, and share it with your fellow manifester that's struggling or could really benefit from the information that you're about to learn. And so here we are again, back with another Friday, and two announcements to share with you. Number one, thank you for everybody in our community who identifies as male who has requested your very own Secret Society Facebook group. Right now we have our current one that's for everybody, and it's inside the pathway when you subscribe. And I think you'll find 11,000 people. Maybe upwards of 11,000 now. I can't remember the exact number, but it's such a beautiful place to connect with like-minded community and to orchestrate your unblocked villages, to have your questions answered, to source information or resources that you need right now. And so we wanted to create the sacred space for anybody who identifies as male. You can find the sign up in the link below. And anybody's welcome to join in there. I just want this to be a space where you feel welcome, that you can come out of the outskirts and connect with one another. And for everybody, please stay tuned. The mid-newsletter every month is going to have tips about how to connect with your unblocked village, how to organize your own if you don't have one in your area, talking points, places to gather, how to structure them, a way that you can really connect, go over the work, and take this work deeper, and start to normalize this. It's cool. It works. It's really special. So sharing it with other people helps speed this up, and that's why we created this. On a second note, we've also upgraded the Shadow Workshop, meaning that we have new examples in there, we have bonus material. Basically, we answered and implemented a lot of the questions we get and supported to clarify things a little bit deeper. And on a fun note, it's going to take a tiny bit, but we are recording all of the deep imaginings and plugging those into the workshops over the next few months with some deeper subconscious integration in them and also higher quality. So thank you for everybody who's reached out and requested this. We're looking forward to creating that for you. So now let's move into the My Magnetic Story share of this week, which is what the community within the pathway has been manifesting. This person writes, I need to share this experience because I'm giddy about how wonderful it is. I've had a rough couple of years, especially these last few months, but I've been working through the unblocked courses, opulence first, then reparent, and I'm starting to step into my worth. My biggest challenge in this lifetime is trusting and staying in love, not fear. So I've been having lots of tests come up in the last few months. I'm guessing I'm passing them because damn, have the last few days been magical. We were heading out for markets on the coast, but a couple of days before we were supposed to leave, we found out that my boyfriend had an extra day, a couple of days off work. I got a ping to go to Nelson, even though it would stretch our budget as tight as it would go. I found a sale on a beautiful heritage hotel, so I took the leap. The next day, I had the biggest online sale I've ever had, which covered all the extra days of the trip, including hotel, gas, and food, plus extras. Later that day, I found a lens ball, something he had been wanting for a while, just lying on the street. Then when we got the hotel, we got to the hotel, we found out that our rooms had been upgraded for free, and the name of the room is Ladybird, which for me signifies my great-grandmother's spirit. It's always how she visits me after she's passed. Now, the challenge for me is to stay present with this experience and not give in to the fear that because things are going good, something bad's about to happen, something I've totally been programmed to expect. I'm practicing staying in my heart space, trusting I'll be taken care of, and that whatever happens next is the best possible thing that could happen to me, because I'm realizing now that even the things I thought were quote unquote bad at the time were beautiful steps to my growth and getting where I am today. And just trying to soak in and be present with all the beauty I'm surrounded with right now, because damn, it feels good. Thank you, whomever shared that. I want to highlight a couple of things in that that everybody, I think, can benefit from. When you've been doing the work to unblock and the work to expand, and you do something like jump off the cliff of something that really scares you. Number one, most of us know by now that anytime we walk through a fear that really scares us, it creates instant magnetism for us. And of course, unblocking takes away the blocks that are preventing things from coming through, and expanding through expanders, which you guys heard the definition of at the beginning of this podcast, that allows space to be created in our subconscious for things to come through. So when you're doing all of this upgrading and you go, man, I know this is going to stretch my budget to take that trip that we deserve. I'm expanded for it. I'm not doing it to go into debt, to feel richer than I am, to attract more money. None of that superstition. I'm just doing this because it's what our soul is craving. We deserve this. It's going to stretch us thin, but I'm going to jump off this cliff anyway. You will usually be rewarded with tons of magnetism, which is what's highlighted in here. Another thing I want to talk about is a superstition that when things are going really great, that fear of jinxing it, that it'll all get taken away. We have a podcast video. I'm sorry. We have a YouTube video on this, which we'll link below in the show notes that you can hear more about this. But essentially, that's not how it works. Let that superstition go. It might take time because it might be really ingrained. And enjoy. Keep unblocking. Keep expanding. There's so much more to be had. You deserve this. And stay tuned for the supported question that I'm going to answer at the end of this episode. It's the class that I teach within the pathway where I answer all of your manifestation questions. Today's guest needs very little introduction. In fact, I introduce her during the episode, the beginning. But I will say, for anybody listening, you will find this highly expansive if you were a very expressive child that needed an outlet to creatively channel through. If you are a humanitarian in the world, or you desire to do more for the world, if you're an entrepreneur, if you are looking to call in a family, if you are a mother, I mean, just she's such an eloquent and beautiful spirit on this planet. And I think she just articulated everything so well, and I found her to be highly expansive. So I hope you enjoy this, and you do too. Welcome back to the Expanded Podcast. Today's guest, Nikki Reed, actress, also a singer-songwriter, screenwriter. You're a mother, a wife, and you now have a beautiful, very conscious jewelry line. I'm really excited to get into this, and I'll kind of tell you the premise of Expanded. Essentially, I teach manifestation, and expanded is the whole concept that I believe, rather than visualizing manifestation, when we see to believe somebody that we really identify with, it shows us that whatever we want to do is possible. So that's what you're serving as today. So getting into that, the first question that I always start everybody off with is, let us know about your cultural upbringing and background.
Wow, what a beautiful intro, by the way. Thank you.
You're so welcome.
My cultural upbringing and background. So I grew up in Los Angeles. I'm very close with my family. We moved around a bit when I was a kid, but I feel like all of those things really add to the colors of the rainbow. And I would say, in some ways, I had an unconventional childhood, and in some ways, it was incredibly conventional. And I'm on this sort of journey of, self-discovery and figuring out how to lead a more conscious lifestyle. And I think that Buy You With Love, my company, is a pretty literal example of that journey, which is like, as I discover things, I try to create them and share them with other people. And, you know, it's ever evolving, right? So it's interesting to look back at like the storybook of our lives and think, how did I start in one place and end up in another? And it's kind of like the beauty of being human.
I love that. And it's so true. And so I always say on the podcast, we do a lot of cosmic profiling. That's sort of our thing. There's no other profiling, just sort of astrology and all of that. And it looks like you're a Taurus. Am I correct?
I am a Taurus.
Excellent. And you don't happen to know your human design or have ever heard of that, do you, by chance?
No, but I'd love for someone to tell me.
Ooh, yeah, we'll have to share that with you of how to dig in. It's really fun. Okay, cool. Well, let's kind of start on the acting front, the creative front. So, you know, I remember when 13 came out, and to my understanding, that was sort of your coming out. How did that all come into play?
Totally by accident, as all great things do. You know, that film is really special to me, and I think will always be a really important moment in time, you know, that's kind of like sort of been captured forever. I loved writing. I've always loved writing. I think, in fact, that's what inspires me the most about having my own company now, bringing me back to writing. But anyway, I was, you know, a kid that was really into expressing herself and kind of bold and kind of, you know, rebellious and love to talk and communicate, you know, about my feelings. And that led to me doing a lot of journaling. And I had a family friend at the time. She was the ex-girlfriend of my father, actually, a woman named Catherine Hardwick. But her and my mom, through the course of Catherine and my father actually dating, her and my mom became friends.
That's beautiful.
As people do. And yeah, my mom actually was a beautician and cut her hair. And Catherine, if she were telling the story, I think she would say that from her visits to the house where, you know, my mom would cut hair because that's where she had her little studio, Catherine started to notice, you know, the shift and change that happens with all adolescent girls. You start bickering with your mom more and you start, I think, really pushing the boundaries. And Catherine kind of stepped in and said, I want to nurture some of the things that I see in Nicole, which is what everybody called me up until I became an actress, which is so funny. I don't really identify with the name Nikki, and I've never said that out loud before, but it's pretty
wow. Funny. That's beautiful.
And Catherine said, you know, I'd really like to kind of take her under my wing and nurture some of these qualities that I think she has, which is just, you know, kind of like over-expressing. I love to write and I loved art, and I come from a long history of artists. You know, my dad is an architect turned production designer. I would say my brother is like a photographer, but you know, in his heart and his hobbies all surround art. He studied art in Florence. My grandmother is a painter and ceramicist, and my great grandmother is a jewelry designer. And I come from a long history of artists. And you know what? Being a beautician, as my mom is, like, that's a form of art in and of itself. You know, she's sculpting and painting all day long. It just happens to be on hair. So, I think that Catherine saw that in me, and I think my mom was grateful for, you know, the added support. It takes a village to raise a child, and somehow 13 was born out of this sort of creative explosion that happened with Catherine and I, and it happened very quickly. She had, I think, the knowledge and understanding of screenwriting, but hadn't necessarily written anything prior to 13 that had been read by anybody, but she'd always wanted to direct, and she's such a visionary and such an artist herself. And the combination, for whatever reason, was really magical. You know, a 13-year-old girl co-writing a screenplay had, I think, an authenticity to it that people hadn't seen before, and a rawness to it. And for many reasons, it sticks out as something in my life that's incredibly painful to watch, and something I don't like to revisit, because in my adult years, I've looked back and seen that, I hope I articulate this properly, but in my adult years, I've looked back and seen how accurately inaccurate the perspective was, because it was the perspective of a child. So, you know, I was given this sort of microphone to blast out everybody else's life as their truth. But in reality, it was just my experience and perspective of my life at the time. So everybody else was a character written based off my perspective. And it should not be forgotten that that was the perspective of a 13-year-old. So on the one hand, while that's, you know, incredibly raw and real and cool and groundbreaking, on the other hand, I think for so many other people looking in on it, it wasn't necessarily accurate and well-rounded, if that makes sense.
I love that. And I think you articulated that so beautifully. And that's really what this podcast is all about, is that reflection and that expansion, you know, that's led you to your growth of where you are today, to kind of shine light on, you know, a little bit of that shadow and the inaccuracy, but also, you know, how honest and truthful it was to you at that time. I love that. And I love how you come from such a lineage of artists, and that helped also expand you of what was possible of how to express yourself, which seems like it's been such a catapult to lead to your current company. Tell us all about it. It's beautiful. I've just been scrolling all through the Instagram right now, and it's stunning.
Oh, thank you so much. So Bayou of Love was sort of born from this desire to create products that I think I couldn't find in the marketplace, and really came about when I found out I was pregnant. You know, I think women have a tendency to start caring on an even deeper level about what goes on or in their bodies, what you're eating, what cosmetic products you're using, what toothpaste you're using when you're pregnant, because you're thinking about this other little human in you, which that's a topic in and of itself. You know, why as women we aren't conditioned to think about those things and prioritize our own bodies prior to being pregnant. But that's,
yeah, that's
time.
Huge. Totally.
But I was Googling, you know, simple things like organic chemical-free pajamas and like what kind of chemicals are used to grow the cotton that we put on our bodies all day, every day, and, you know, our underwear and things like that, just like basic things that I had never thought of before, and what ingredients were in my toothpaste. And I ended up launching the company in May of 2017, and we launched with apparel and beauty, because that was, first of all, we launched through a partnership with Anthropologie, which is so cool that they wanted to support, you know, sustainable, ethical, locally made products. But they were looking to create a product line. And I always kind of launch everything with the mentality of, well, what do you need? And I'll create it, as opposed to the other way around. So when we launched the partnership with Anthropologie, that's where we started. And then shortly after, I was approached by Dell, tech company Dell, Big Dell. Mm-hmm. They truly are like the most sustainable tech company in the world, and really prioritize that within the company. And it's something that I don't think they spoke about publicly or really led with, you know, that message. And we had our first like creative kickoff call about 4 months after I launched Bayou with Love. And they said, you know, we feel like you are like this emerging voice in the sustainable arena, and we want to talk to you about this gold that we have in our supply chain from all of the recycled motherboards in our technology, and we feel like we could build something really cool around this. And I did what I do best, which is spend like the next 24 hours literally thinking of everything and feeling so inspired that I can't sleep, and dreaming it up and calling them back and like putting together a pitch deck. And we spoke like a day or two later, and I said, you know, I have an idea. I think that we should create a jewelry line together. I've already launched a company that focuses on sustainable fashion. We don't really, you know, we want to expand in a couple of different areas, and we don't really have a reason to not dive into jewelry right now. A little unknown or less known fact about me is that I actually launched my first jewelry collection when I was 22 or 23 years old, many years ago, that was named after my grandmother. So as I said before, there's a long history of jewelry and design in my family. And so Bayou of Love was not my first time in this area, but it certainly is like the right time for us to be in this area, because I feel like sometimes the stars align, and I felt like the world was really, you know, ready and curious and interested in sustainable living, as I, you know, as I am and was at the time. And so it happened very quickly. Within a couple of months, I had gold from these motherboards, designs, sketches, sourcing LA-based manufacturing facilities, learning about things that I had never really, I didn't have any knowledge on prior to this. Like, how do you receive gold and in what form do you receive it? If it's coming out of motherboards, like how do we melt this down? How do we track this? What is the, you know, what is market value for gold? How do we, it was a very interesting process for me that was totally foreign and really inspiring. And that's something I love, like throw me into an area that I know nothing about. And I mean, honestly, nothing makes me happier than learning about, things that I wouldn't, you know, I would never have the chance to learn about. It's one of the things that I love so much about having this company is like really wearing every hat within the company and, you know, learning everything from like operations to manufacturing to like CAD designs to coding to web design to, you know, just everything. But anyway, back to Dell, we launched our first collection just 1 year ago, a little over a year ago in January at CES, and we sold out in 48 hours and we won the popular award at CES, which like the largest tech convention in the world. So win an award surrounding fashion and jewelry was just like kind of surprised all of us. But I think more than anything, what it did is, you know, while that's incredible and very flattering for the company, what's more incredible is that it means people care about this. So yes, it means there's an appetite for this. And also it helps, I think in my mind, really shatter the misconception that sustainable goods can't be luxurious.
Absolutely. And for you, you know, like a big question I love to ask everybody, which I think might, I don't know if it'll lead into this too much, but first I'll lead with, what has been your biggest rock bottom in your life? And then I'm going to parlay that into how potentially you've gone about doing a lot of these artistic expressions. I'll let you first share whatever that might be, whatever comes to you. That's a huge thing for people in this process is to see, you know, the people who are successful, who are following their dreams and who are fortunate that they have been through really, really tough lows before. So I'll let you answer whatever you feel like sharing in that capacity and then I'll pivot it.
I mean, I guess I'll just say like rock bottoms, at least in my experience, it's not like one monumental moment. You're always oscillating back and forth. I mean, starting a company is incredibly difficult. Working in the industry that I worked in prior to starting this company is incredibly difficult. And I think that there are at times, you know, daily or weekly or monthly rock bottoms. I mean, totally. It's not all like rainbows and butterflies. It's a really difficult process. I think growing up as a young woman in this industry is hard, and finding yourself and figuring out who you are for anybody is difficult and comes with rock bottoms. But being in this industry, I think really kind of has the ability sometimes to amplify that because you're growing and making mistakes and finding yourself in front of what feels like in front of the world. So yeah, I mean, look, in the last 2 years, starting Bayou with Love, it's been incredibly rewarding because I see immediate response from people, but like I'm still working. By immediate response, I mean immediate response to sustainability, which I think is so cool. But I'm working sometimes 16, 17 hours a day. I have a 20-month-old, life never stops. Sometimes I feel like I can't breathe. When you start a company or working 7 days a week, it's not, we share what we share on social media, right? And because it's not that I don't want to share any of what's difficult. It's actually just that I don't share much personal information, believe it or not, on social media. It might, kind of appear that I do, but I really do keep our home life and true personal stuff off of the internet. I feel like that's private and stuff that I want to protect. So
beautiful.
I'm not so vocal about like day-to-day living with Bayou with Love, but I will say that it's hard, you know. I work 7 days a week. There is no break. And I'm passionate, of course, and that fuels you. Passion keeps it going. But I have days where I get up at 5 a.m. and I'm a full-time mom and I don't have a nanny and I'm working all day long and I'm putting a child to bed and then going back to work until sometimes 1 or 2 in the morning and then getting up again. And after, you know, weeks and weeks of this, you kind of start to feel like you're going crazy for sure.
Boy, can I relate to that. And I think it's so important for anybody listening who is on the entrepreneurial track. I mean, and I'm going to pivot in a sec, but what would you say to the person who has the dream, or they have, I call it pings, the download of what to put into the world that's being communicated to them divinely? What would be your words of wisdom or advice, even though you're so in the thick of it? I feel like I'm just getting out of that place. Like I'm just recovering from those days. What would be your perspective of telling the person who A, might feel like my idea is not good enough, what I want to do is not good enough, it's not going to contribute to the world. You know, in your case, you could be like, there's so many other jewelry lines out there. You know, people have these limiting beliefs. So that's one perspective. And then on the flip side of that, like any words of wisdom you've had of execution and putting your dream out into the public to buy.
Wow. Well, first and foremost, I would say that if there are people out there thinking that they're not contributing to the world and that their idea isn't good enough, that in and of itself is really difficult to, you know, it's difficult to like watch a flower bloom if you're not going to water it. Like if you don't believe in that growth and you don't believe in your dream and that vision and you don't see the path for that thing to expand and touch the world and the beauty in that, then I don't know, like maybe you take a break from gardening until you can find that. Like I would say that you have to believe in it. I mean, you have to love it and see the vision for it. And if you don't believe in it, nobody else is going to believe in it. So I don't mean to meet like a negative with a negative, but I would say you have to like reconfigure the whole approach. I mean, if you're going to grow a company, you have to live and breathe that company. As you know, as I know, like there are no successful entrepreneurs out there that build these huge, you know, businesses and platforms that impact the whole world that don't believe in their own dream. So that's like number one, because you have to work, like I said, 20 hours a day, 7 days a week and beyond that. So there's that. And words of wisdom. I don't know. We may have to circle back on that because I feel like I don't want to like butcher anything that anyone said. I want to like properly relay that. And I feel like I'm getting constant advice from people all the time. You know, my brain's like full of it.
Oh, wow.
So I feel like I want to revisit that in a second when I can digest that.
I love that. We'll loop back. And I think a really special thing is, and I don't know if you practice any of this or you believe in it, but I'm hyper spiritual, clearly. And I really believe these little souls choose us to come through us and they're circling around us. Did you have any conscious conception practices that you practiced before getting pregnant? Like calling in a baby or working with the baby?
Yeah, I did. I actually read a book and the title of it, as most things do now that I have a child, escape my brain because I can't retain any information.
Is it Spirit Babies?
Yeah, it's Spirit Babies. There you go.
It's a great one.
I read a book, Spirit Babies, about that. And, you know, I don't label myself as anything. I don't know what my beliefs are really. I just know that I believe in energy and I believe in things and I believe in the energy of the world. But I'm not necessarily like dead set on things. I'm very open in how I feel. I'm open to new ideas coming in, and I'm always open, like, you know, prior to getting pregnant, I really wanted to kind of focus a lot of love and intention into that journey. I spent a long time thinking about being a mom, whether or not I should be a mom, could be a mom. I waited a long time. By a long time, I mean only a couple of years, but my husband from like the first date was basically saying, you know, I'm ready to have a child. I'm ready to have a child. Are you ready to have a child? And so for me to even kind of build in a couple of years of that was a lot of my own process of kind of thinking and digesting that and wanting to make sure that I was 100% ready, even though he was.
Beautiful. So beautiful. What a conscious pursuit.
We did, you know, we did. We definitely took that time together. And of course, he was so supportive of that. And he only wanted that as well. I'm just saying that it was nice and very refreshing to meet a man who knew what he wanted and then also respected my journey while I figured out what I wanted. I do feel like there are little like human souls that are ready and waiting and like meant to be your baby, you know? Like it's kind of hard to explain or articulate, but I do feel that. And when I read that book, I thought that was so sweet. And I remember trying to like call in whatever that presence was. But there's always little stories and things that happen along the way if you're really tuned in, and we don't have to go into them now, or we can, but like, you know, my daughter made it known that she was supposed to be our daughter from day one. And I actually can share a very sweet little story, and I don't know if this resonates with anybody or if it's too kind of like crunchy hippy dippy, but I...
Not at all. People will love it.
I remember... you know, we were like actively in our household talking about starting a family. So we were trying, although I ended up getting pregnant at a time that I wasn't expecting, which is such an amazing surprise. But we were in that year actively saying, this is what we're calling in. And I called my mom once and I was like, this is so wild. I'd never read about ladybugs, but I was like, this is so wild. There are ladybugs everywhere, and it's not even ladybug season. We were in Georgia. I was like, it's not even ladybug season, I don't think. I just Googled it, and it isn't. And I would, like, open the fridge, and there would be a ladybug. And I would
pull wow.
my comforter on the bed, and there would be a ladybug on my pillow. I'm not joking. There were ladybugs everywhere. I'd find them in my shirt, and they weren't on my husband, and they weren't anywhere else. I just felt like they were around me. And if I said it to my girlfriends, like, are there ladybugs all over your house? They would go, no, what are we talking about? And then I Googled one day, what is the meaning of ladybugs? And I'm pretty sure, and you're welcome to Google it now too, so I'm accurately telling the story, but it, you know, surrounds fertility. And I called my mom one day, and I was like, there are ladybugs everywhere. What do you think? Like, am I pregnant? And nothing showed up at the time, but I found out a couple weeks later that I was in fact pregnant. So that always stuck with me. And, you know, while I'm a believer in those things, I can be very like literal as well. And sometimes think like, oh, that, you know, that was me reading into that or whatever. But that one really stuck with me. That like shook me. I really...
That's so beautiful.
I still get chills when I think
No, I have a friend who had a very similar experience with butterflies as well. And I think that's really, really lovely. And I really love the expansion of, you know, two people taking the time to really follow a conscious pursuit while respecting each other's journey. And that was something I wanted to cover because I think that's so important in this day and age. And I mean, you guys seem like such huge activists and obviously on the pursuit of consciousness that I think that's really beautiful to share that you took the time to really evaluate, you know, if you were going to be a mother, if you wanted to be a mother and to have that choice.
So I'm quickly interrupting this episode that I hope you're finding very expanding to tell you about a special offer that you won't find anywhere else but here. So with the code JOURNEY, that's capital JOURNEY, simply put that in order to receive your first month off free for the pathway or 10% off any of the a la carte. And once you're in the pathway, there's a suggestion of exactly what you should follow, starting with a formula and magnetism workshop, moving into reparent and shadow, and then you'll move through, if you're calling in a career, opulence, you'll move through partnership if you're calling that in, and of course, everybody should be doing the daily reprogramming exercise. The beautiful thing about the pathway as well is that you will have access to the Facebook group, which is the like-minded community you've probably been manifesting, and it gives you access to all of the unblocked villages that are meeting up around the world. So you'll be able to find one in hopefully your neighborhood, and you get full access to my class, which is twice a month called Supported, where you can write in any question you're having about your manifestation process or manifestation in order to have me answer your question. Enjoy the rest of this episode.
What are you up to in the activation world today? What are you supporting? You know, what is Are You With Love supporting?
Oh, so much at once.
I know.
you know, it's the interesting thing about being a mom, actually, to bring it back to that, is that it's the first time in my life that I have felt okay and good about saying no. Like, my heart has been okay with saying no to some of the things that I am so passionate about, because you only have so much time in the day, and those moments with your child are so precious. And so I felt like prior to being a mom, everything was a yes. Like if it was anything that I was passionate about, or as a family we were passionate about, it was, you know, let's do everything always, anywhere we can. Get on a plane, fly here, support this cause, rally for this, go to Standing Rock, testify at State Capitol, you know, all the things. And I still do a lot of those things. But I think I've gone from like 100 to like, let's say, you know, 65 or 70% of those things, because it's just not possible to do it all. And I struggled with that. I think prior to being a mom, I struggled with the concept of not being able to do it all. Mm. And now I've found a lot of peace with that. But I still support so much of what means something to me. And I also feel like it's been less in the like virtual digital world and more like hands-on things, like things that also can include our child. You know, like I've gone back to, I started 15 years ago working with a ton of animal rescues, for example. And for so many years, in the last 8 years or so, I was traveling so much for other things and for other causes that I couldn't do as much like fostering and hands-on work because I was gone so much. And what's amazing about feeling a little more grounded is that I can actually do the work that I used to do again. So
awesome. And just also local community too, which is beautiful. Yeah,
local community and visiting, you know, biodynamic farms and taking my daughter to visit, you know, it's like the things that you forget. It starts with children, and now I'm sort of reconnected to like what all of that really personal experience means. Like there is something actually world-changing about a child understanding the concept of growing their own food, for example. Like, huge. If you think about what happens with that child in their lifetime and the ripple effect and how they affect the rest of the world based on their knowledge of that one simple thing, it's actually huge. It's actually bigger than anything else. Like, the greatest service I can do actually is raising a child who lives in a conscious way, who's going to contribute back to the world too. So I've had to remember that, like, I can't forget, I can't put that to the side for all of the other causes. Sure, I can do a lot of things at the same time, but that's like, that has to be number one. So anyway, yeah, local community stuff. I work a lot in the Put a Price on It campaign sphere, where we've donated my social media every week to college students around the country that are talking about carbon pricing. And that all started from a series I did a few years ago called The Years of Living Dangerously, really interesting series where they take a different, some form of a public figure, but in different areas. So David Letterman, Don Cheadle, Gisele Bündchen, Jack Black, me, Ian Somerhalder, there are people who are, you know, represent very different, talk to very different audiences, diverse audiences, and give them the chance to talk about a topic that wouldn't normally seem interesting, but becomes interesting because of the host, hopefully. So my topic was carbon pricing that I was trying to tackle, which, by the way, is the hardest thing to make cool.
Oh man, and I can imagine. I'm even thinking of like what the PR campaign can be on that. Uh-huh. It's tricky.
Well, I realized, you know, if I have this platform, I should be giving it to other people to speak through that platform. So now it's been, I think, like 2.5 years or maybe even more. I donate my social media every week to this group of college students around the country to talk about things that, you know, I think hopefully if people see it enough weekly, if it's in their brain, it'll start to resonate in some capacity, or at the very least open their mind up to the conversation and what that means. And that's what I try to do with Buy You With Love too, you know, just like open up a conversation about the story of something, the story of a stone, the story of what we wear. And but back to your original question, yes, a lot of work in that space, and then animal rescue, and I think supporting a local community.
Beautiful. That's great. All right. I love that. And here are some questions I ask everybody, because it's a really big part of the process that I teach in manifestation. What is the biggest limiting inner child belief you've had to overcome to be in success, and what that means to you today?
Oh man.
Heavy hitters, right?
Yeah. These are really heavy. These are super heavy. limiting child belief.
Yeah, like the inner child in you of not good enough. And
it's interesting because I have parents that didn't make me feel that way. So they did a very good job of making me feel like I was enough. And I see it in the way that they are grandparents to my child now, like the way of instilling humor and encouraging humor in a child really boosts their self-confidence. And I would say so much of my daughter's like sense of humor and self-confidence comes from her grandparents doing the same thing, and hopefully from her parents too. But I mean, I see that her grandparents giving her so much of that self-confidence, and it's such a reflection of how I think they parented me. It's like so sweet to be able to see that as an adult, like, oh, that was what my childhood must have been like, you know?
Beautiful.
So a lot of that was instilled from my parents. And then I think a lot of it was stripped away from the career that I chose at the time. Like I said before, and I still haven't talked about this enough openly to be able to like really articulate it in a way that seems eloquent and well thought out. So forgive me for it feeling fragmented. But, you know, when you work in an industry that I think is all about stripping away and like either exposing or creating like a caricature of yourself, you know, whatever that is, like, you know, fame is an interesting thing. It does weird things to the psyche. I don't think it's natural in any way for anyone. And not that I am or have ever been super famous. That's not what I mean. I've certainly been around it enough, and I've certainly had like my own taste of what that feels like from being in, you know, a pretty large film series and, you know, all of that stuff. So I'm familiar. And I think that, I think it has a way of like, of really breaking you down and then really, like adding layers, like almost like a calloused, I don't know, like adding things, you know, like a callus over a wound, you know, and like things don't ever really sort themselves out. And for me, the greatest gift I could have given myself, and maybe I have no idea where it stemmed from. It's not because I had like some crazy foresight or like amazing knowledge about myself or anything like that. I think it was just pure instinct. My instinct was to always kind of back away from it because I didn't feel like I could grow in that space. I didn't feel like I would ever figure out who I was or what I wanted unless I was removed from it. And other people do, by the way. This is not a statement about like how everybody should run their lives who's in the entertainment industry, you know, to each their own, and other people I'm sure grow very well and develop very well. I just found that like what I was seeing is that there was a very clear lack of growth surrounding fame. Like the second you become famous, there are no consequences and people need consequences in order to grow. There is no, you know, you're not met with the same level of truth, but yet you're met with like over judgment. And scrutiny, and all those things are really hard on what is like a little, you know, little kid. Like, you know, most of us who started out were little kids. You know, you're a little kid until you're 18, 19, 20, sometimes into your 20s. You're just a kid in a big world figuring yourself out.
Absolutely.
So for me, it took a lot of traveling and a lot of removing myself from that and then diving back in and figuring things out. And it wasn't always easy. And it's hard to like bring yourself back into a career that you've always kind of had like one foot out the door with. And yeah, I mean, it's an ever evolving journey.
I love that. And who has been your biggest expander for being a mother, a wife, as well as somebody who does stand up for fellow people, animals, the world, and what you're doing now is creating this line? Who would you say your biggest expanders or expander has been to show you that it's possible?
There's so many I mean, I feel expanded and inspired by everyone from like my mom to like people in the fashion industry to blogs that I read, you know, like I feel inspired and expanded by imagery and by writing and by people. It's hard to put my finger on like, here's one person. Cause on a daily basis, I feel like I have moved and grown into a new space and taken on a new understanding of things. You know, even like sitting down with this incredible and very knowledgeable man who works in the sapphire industry recently that opened my eyes to that particular mine that we're working with. It literally changed my perspective on our business and the way that I want to operate our business. Like in one meeting, I realized, wow, I want to be able to understand the true story of a stone from like ethical mining. Well, yeah, great. And then it can be cut with unethical labor somewhere else. And I didn't even realize that. And I have to know those things. I mean, these are like silly examples of ways that on a daily basis, I have this like aha moment where I go, oh my God, I want to like completely like reconfigure my approach to my creativity in this sense, or my, and then I also am surrounded by a really amazing community of like local artists and makers that I really feel inspired by. One of my dear sisters, Elizabeth, who has an incredible company called Earth and Element, which is all handmade, she calls them like earthly goods, and it's pottery and ceramics, but it's like, it's so much more than that because there's such an incredible story behind the connection between the hands and the clay and like the art that comes from it. And I have another dear sister named Nina, who is a travel journalist who travels the world and, you know, has met some of the most incredible people who have really like made their lives revolve around their art and their love of their art, and not let like, you know, money or society put pressure on the way that they want to lead their lives. And on a daily basis, I wake up and I think about those things, you know, those women. So it's really hard for me to like say there's this person.
Cool. I call them fragment expanders. You have so many, and that is really what builds out the possibility. And yes, I love that. And getting into our last final questions, really, I'm so curious of what you can educate us on. I know you've already, you know, shared some beautiful examples of how this line in particular is already, you know, changing the way that we can interact with jewelry, especially these are pieces we'll have forever and for life. If you could just educate us further, just the layman person who doesn't know the corruption that goes into jewelry and the toxicity and, like you're saying, the undervalued labor or people that are being violated through this process. I'm just personally curious.
It will take many years of education on my own and a path that I'm on to continue to be a student in this area as well. So when I speak on these things, you know, please know that I'm learning as well. And I'm so grateful for all of the knowledge that I'm given on a daily basis about this. The jewelry industry is an interesting one because I think in many ways it still operates in a sort of like caveman sense with really outdated, loose rules and regulation. But on the other hand, I think there's like an overwhelming desire to create transparency from the consumer and from companies who are really prioritizing that type of, you know, that operation. So I think finding areas that really inspire you, that you do feel you can trace or understand the journey of, is really important. So for example, like we offer all of our customers the option to use a conflict-free traditionally mined diamond, of course, but we also offer the option for them to use a grown diamond. And that's something that I didn't know anything about until just a year ago. But growing a diamond, they're literally grown from like tiny slivers, like diamond seeds. And so they are molecularly identical to diamonds. So it's not like a fake diamond. It's not a CZ. They're called lab grown diamonds because that is the way the industry has now labeled them. And I think the word lab definitely has the ability to turn people off because it feels very sterile and a lot of the magic is missing. But I would encourage people to kind of disregard that, you know, misconception just based on the word and actually do a little bit of research on the beauty and magic that goes into that, even if it's through technology. The fact that we have the technology to grow an actual diamond and lessen, you know, the harmful impact that is felt from mining, even when mining is done in the most sustainable way with ethical labor, you know, there's still an impact. And, you know, it's an emerging industry, which is so cool to be able to support a new emerging industry. So, you know, I find out new things on a daily basis, and I want to be able to share that with our customers. And the other thing is, you know, gold is gold, no matter where it comes from. And of course, the response will continue with, you know, the squeaky wheel coming out and saying like, well, recycled gold jewelry should be, you know, it should be less because it's recycled, or it should be, you know, it's less than. But I would really encourage people to think about what that means. Gold is simply gold. So whether it's melted down from technology or your grandmother's ring, or, you know, it's virgin gold that's just been mined, it's just gold. So why not use something that has what I consider a little more love in it, because it came from that, you know, with that intention. And regarding, you know, colored gemstones, I'm just really diving into this now and kind of understanding that it is really hard to, you know, the rules and regulations surrounding colored gemstones, how they're mined, where they're mined, the system for tracking and tracing a lot of what we source in the jewelry industry is pretty loose, and a lot of it hasn't really been put into place yet. And that's obviously totally out of my hands, or the hands of any business owners or designers, because we're not mining for stones, but it is up to us to do our due diligence and research. And at the very least, one thing that I like to really focus on is sourcing from areas that I know have sustainability and good practice in mind as a priority for them. So like Australia is a wonderful source for sapphires, and so is Sri Lanka, and there are places in the world where you can actually, you know, research how they operate their mining facilities, and then, you know, as a company, make the decision to work with those, with that area, and research within that area. So I definitely do everything that I can, and I'm definitely growing and learning on a daily basis. And as I grow, the company grows, and I try to, you know, provide our customers with as much inspiration and information as I possibly can, because I think that we're coming into a time where people, they, you know, what you wear and what you choose to put on your body is also a statement about who you are, about what you care about, you know, and it's no longer just about having something beautiful or something that looks expensive or feels expensive. It's about how, it's about the love that was put into that thing. It's about the origin story, and it becomes a part of your identity, your personal identity. So it's really been such a cool journey, you know, building this company that's been as fulfilling for me as I think it has been for our customers. And I can't see it ever going away, just because I feel fueled by it on a daily basis. So even if, you know, we never sold another piece again, I'd have to figure out how to keep operating, just because I love it so much. You know, it's my passion.
I mean, you guys are doing a great job. And just for anybody listening, as I cruise through the Instagram, because I'm such a consumer of jewelry, I personally mostly buy vintage. And I love, you know, the process you guys are going down, because you're giving us a refrain of being able to interact with vintage, but also new consciousness. And that's so cool. But for the people tuning in, I really implore you to go check out. It looks like a men's line's coming soon. That gold band is stunning. Like, I want
it. Yeah. I can, you know, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the men's pieces that we have right now, just because it's so interesting. So I obviously work with Dell, as I said before, and Dell is working with another company to extract pollution from the air. Keep following me. Pollution from the air. Jeez. Distill it down into an ink, and they're using that ink on their packaging. And they called me and they said, listen, we know that ink is obviously probably nothing, like it's not a medium you can really work with, but we just wanted to tell you we have this because we feel like you always find ways of using things. And I took that ink and brought it to our manufacturing facility, and I mixed it with an enamel. Like, we created enamel pieces that are all made with 14 karat white gold, yellow gold, with literal pollution mixed into this enamel. And I think for me, why that was so exciting is because we're literally taking something that would be considered not only trash, but like harmful, and we're giving that thing another life. And like, the message on transformation in that to me is so cool and so profound. And look, like, of course, if anybody says to me, oh, so you really think, like, what are you, like, clean, you know, you're changing the world.
You're always
going
to get that.
No. Yeah, of course not, right? Like, it's tiny, tiny, minute amounts. Yeah, sure, of course. But what we are doing that's not tiny, is creating a really cool conversation around the dinner table that hopefully not just people will speak about, but their children will speak about or hear about. And I think that it does help to inform the decisions we make on a daily basis.
Absolutely. And I'm definitely going to be getting that ring. It's beautiful. I'm such a lover of gold bands. And I mean, how inspiring and stunning. On our last note, very last question to leave anybody off with, especially with an entrepreneur and a mother who is working so much, what are your biggest self-care practices or meditation practices? I know obviously yoga is a big part of your life, that you carve out the time to do daily that reset you and ground you into your authenticity.
So yoga is actually not my practice. It's acro yoga, which
yeah.
is connected. They are connected. I just, I'm saying that because I have a tremendous amount of respect for yogis, and I don't want to claim to be something that I'm not. So I like to always differentiate, but acro is a really cool sport that my brother and I have taken up together, and we're actually partners in it. So he's the base and I'm his flyer. And I don't get to do this daily because it requires two people, and my brother and I don't live together, but we do carve out the time to spend weekly or monthly, at least monthly, to really practice and get into our flow. And I think what it does, if I can just break it down, because we can use this everywhere in our life, is it makes you focus on only one thing in that moment, which is such a relaxing exercise for the brain. So even if you're doing a million things in that moment with your body, because you're being flipped upside down and flying in the air and doing things that are, you know, dangerous and all those things, it keeps your brain focused on that one thing, that one exercise. And that's why for some people, like playing guitar is their form of meditation, because you can't really think about a million things and sing a song and pluck strings. You know, you're kind of just focused. And I think the brain needs that bit of relief. And we live in this world where everything is like multitask. Like even on this, while we're recording this interview together, I'm going, oh wow, 4 emails have popped through my
phone. Yeah, totally.
Is it vibrating? Should I just check? Did someone need me? Like, is the baby okay? You know, we're doing a million things at once all the time. And I don't know that the brain is really equipped for that 24/7. I think the brain requires moments of relief. So whatever that thing is for you, I would just encourage people to actually start practicing. Meditation is amazing, obviously, or like sitting and having a cup of tea and just being present and looking at the sky is amazing. But if those things don't work for you because you find your brain feeling really scattered, try something that makes your brain do more than one thing at once, but only focusing on one thing, if that makes sense, like a guitar or like running or, you know, acro yoga or something that keeps you really in the zone.
I love it. That's so beautiful. And yeah, many people, I mean, it could be surfing, it can be hiking, it could be anything. And yes. I think that's a great, great suggestion. And yeah, these photos are incredible. I'm really impressed. It's amazing. Oh,
thank you. Thank you. I love it so, so, so much.
Well, thank you so much for your time today and really serving as an expander. And for anybody who's looking to go check out, Buy You With Love also has beautiful products, clothing, and I'm so just so inspired by the jewelry line, and what you're up to with Dell is incredible. Mm. So thank you for that and that consciousness. And I'm wishing everybody a beautiful weekend.
Thank you. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you so much.
Today's supported question is, every time I've saved up money for a fuck you fund, I get a weird bill or a car repair that depletes my savings. I don't understand the pattern and I feel trapped in my job. What are the energetics behind why this keeps happening? Oh, this is a good question. I've so been here before too. So exactly what's happening is actually really, really simple. Whatever you're saving a fuck you fund for right now, or however you're navigating your life, you're actually not totally on your authentic path yet. You may think you are, but there's something there that's still stuck in ego. And again, I'm super lenient on ego. You can find in the show notes below my definition of ego in a YouTube video. It's not at all like being a monk in the Himalayas. However, you are trying to externally validate in some way, shape, or form. And when you save up this fuck you fund in the name of that, the universe is like, ah, whatever is truly aligned with your soul that you have been unconsciously or potentially scratching the surface of consciously calling in is orbiting around you, and you're not raising your self-worth quick enough in order to align with it, and you're not on the right directional path to align with it. So what you're actually experiencing is mini rock bottoms over and over and over again to get you to wake up. And sometimes the universe has to do that through these uncomfortable situations. It's kind of like being tested. When you're going after the wrong person over and over again, when you're calling in partnership, but you just keep on dating that same pattern of emotionally unavailable, external validation, trauma bonding, instead of truly starting to step into your power for the right partner, the universe is just going to keep slapping you over and over again because it needs you to get on this path quicker in order to raise your self-worth enough to connect with what is supposed to come through. So a really great way to navigate this inside the pathway is within Up Level. We have a workshop called Rock Bottom, which teaches you the exact energetics about how to navigate this so that it stops happening. You will find a lot of answers in that. You will get a lot of clarity of why it's happening, and you'll understand the next few steps you need to take. And therefore, your FU fund won't really get depleted as much anymore. I would also highly recommend doing opulence if you haven't done that yet, so you can start to understand the energetics of money a lot better. You're not alone. I've definitely been there. It was primarily when I was acting because, again, it wasn't my soul's true path to be on. And I needed to learn this path, but I wasn't waking up to it quick enough. So I would get just slammed. My mom's also the queen of this, of like shitstorm after shitstorm hitting her because she has powerful, powerful gifts in this lifetime that she chooses to numb with through alcohol. She numbs through TV. She numbs in a lot of ways, and she finds herself in shitstorm after shitstorm because it's literally the universe being like, wake up. You're here to do a service. You're on the planet. I have a lot of things to send through to you that you've been asking for, but you're choosing to settle your self-worth over and over and over again. So you're not alone. This is very easily remedied. And I would really advise checking out Rock Bottom with an Up Level that lives inside the pathway. And have a great weekend, everyone.